Hey everybody, welcome back to another version of Flock and Gather. You know it's your only 18-minute podcast in the spa and wellness industry. I'm going up to Michigan. It already sounds cold going north, and people know I don't go north from Phoenix in the winter. But we're going up to see my friend Patty Olinger. She is the incoming executive director of the Salt Therapy Association. Patty, I'm so happy to have you today. How are you?
I'm doing well and very happy to be here.
Good. Well, I'm glad. And I see you're wearing your sweater and your scarf, and I'm in my t-shirt and shorts. So that tells you everything you need to know, right?
That is true.
Okay.
We had a really cool winter, but it had a cold snap here.
I know. It's been crazy, right? Like, there's no control. You can talk climate change, it's fine, but there's no control on the weather. I mean, we have 80 degrees and sunny, and yesterday it was 55 and raining. So I don't try and figure it out in Phoenix either, for that matter. A lot of our listeners know that I have been on the board of the Salt Therapy Association since it was started by Leo Tonkin. It's grown a lot in the last 5 or 6 years, but I'm happy I can give you a warm welcome to your new role and have you come on board, and maybe you'll take all us crazy guys and make us sane one of these days. So welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
Do you know, can we take 1 minute? Will you tell our listeners your history? Because you've got a lot of other things you've done along the way. So 1 minute, let it roll.
Okay. So a lot of people don't realize, you know, especially in the wellness industry, my background. So I started out in the pharmaceutical industry. I was a lab rat, you might say, at the bench, then moved into environmental health and safety. And in that role, you do a lot of indoor air quality and respiratory health and wellness and well-being. Spent 20 years there in the research organization, both human health and animal health. And from there, I moved into academia and healthcare. And I ended up being an assistant vice president of Emory University in Research Administration, Environmental Health and Safety, and we provided support into healthcare. During that time, my claim to fame was that I was part of Team Ebola. So that is a weird thing. That's a whole talk on its own, being able to provide support to the healthcare workers as they cared for the 4 Ebola patients from there. I then moved into GBAC right before the pandemic, and ISSA, the World Leading Trade Association for the Cleaning Industry. GBAC, I wrote and launched the GBAC STAR, a facility accreditation program. And one of the first things that happened was Hyatt Hotels signed up to have all of their locations accredited. And they had me work with Simon Marxier from Miraval Spas to put together guidelines for how we stay open safely, how we clean and sanitize spaces, and then how we look at reopening and being sustainable and resilient moving forward. It was amazing working with Simon, working with Hyatt, and working with small and luxury hotels of the world.
Beautiful. Patty, was this also during the time of COVID?
Oh, yeah. So I wrote an article in the fall of 2019 that a pandemic was coming and we're not prepared. It was published the first week of January. GBAC STAR was launched in May of 2020. And so we ended up, no pun intended, it went viral. And we were in 85 countries and over 4,000 facilities accredited worldwide.
Patty, what is GBAC? That's GBAC, correct? That you're talking
correct.
About?
It was the Global Biorisk Advisory Council. That was born out of the original GBAC was born out of the pandemic and the recognition by Jeff Jones and actually the brainchild of Jeff Jones, Clay Wardlaw, myself, and a couple of others that there really needed to be more preparedness, training, education. To be prepared for whatever might come our way from a biological incident.
Okay, the million-dollar question. Did you guys somehow know the pandemic was coming and we weren't prepared, like, right away? Or did you think it was just something down the road and it was purely coincidental that it came around in March of the next year?
And I still say this today, it's not if, but when we will have another pandemic. We knew from our experiences with Ebola and some of the other outbreaks like Zika or avian influenza, it was actually swine flu. If you remember back in 2009, that we were not prepared. And that for me, it wasn't necessarily healthcare. And you know me, Ellen, my kids are all doctors, that I really support and understand the needs of healthcare, having provided support into healthcare as well. But it's the front line. If we're starting to get people in an emergency room, it's the front line that says we're not prepared. And that it's people in a spa, it's people in hospitality, it's at the restaurants. They're the most vulnerable in the beginning. And that's where we really need to do a better job of being prepared and how we take care of things on a day-to-day basis.
Are we not prepared because it's not sexy? So politicians don't want to put money at getting ready for something that may never happen, even though we think it will.
You know, that's probably part of it. You're absolutely right. You know, it's not the, you know, it was really kind of funny during the pandemic. Everybody wanted to have some type of a sprayer and some type of a this because it was the sexy thing to do. Halloween costumes for people with those kind of things on. But the reality, you know, I think it's something you can't see. And so, you know, it's like the air we breathe. We breathe air, but we don't know if it's healthy air. And so those are the types of things that people want more evidence on. And unfortunately, it's one of those areas that's difficult to provide people that evidence.
Got it. Okay. And what is ISSA, I-S-S-A?
That is the International Sanitary Supply Association.
Man, they love their acronyms, right?
They really, that's why we said ISSA. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay, very good. Okay, so I know we're here to talk about salt. You know I am a huge fan of salt. I go to the salt room that's here in Scottsdale. I breathe salt on the road. I use nasal pots for my allergies in the morning and evening. So in my world, so much of salt, and you can't see it, so you should invest in it. Salt is part of our nature, right? I mean, it's been around since the beginning of time. So people should be more engaged in salt. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know, you're absolutely right. It's been around since the beginning of time. I mean, it is a natural component of our day-to-day life. Sodium chloride, they are two elements that we could not live without it. The bottom line is that we could not live without salt. You know, I mean, obviously there may be some, if you have a hypertension or something like that, eating a lot of salt probably is not the best thing for you. But when we look at the importance of salt, we look back at the history of people who worked in salt mines, there was actually evidence that they were more healthy. We are starting to see more and more both research and anecdotal information. Like you said, you made the comment about allergies. I haven't taken, since I have my home salt booth, I haven't taken any of my allergy meds, and I used to have to take it daily. And so we're starting to see that, you know, using salt therapy, halotherapy, has some very positive health and well-being and wellness attributes. And we're going to see more and more of that when we start looking at some of the scientific data and improving some of the standards, which is one of the reasons that Leo had contacted me, because I've worked on a lot of international standards boards to look at what we can do to even increase that need for more research, more studies, more stories.
We're talking to Patty Olinger today. She is the new executive director to the Salt Therapy Association. You can find out a lot more by going to salttherapyassociation.org. And I highly recommend you do, if I own Patty, a spa, salon, medical spa, skincare, whatever, salt would be a huge part of what I'm doing. I love the low touchness of it. I love the fact people can take it home. You can do it every day. I don't like when my wife says, don't put so much salt on your French fries, but it's the one thing I go overboard on. So I'm going to get away with that as long as I can and not worry about the heart palpitations at the moment, right? Let me ask you about scientific data, because a lot of times when I talk to spa and wellness people are on the industry, say, hey, have you seen this blah, 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 blah? And the first thing they say is, well, where's the proof? Show me the white paper.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody wants to see the white paper. And I think that's important. There is a lot of data that came out of Europe. And we're seeing more and more even here in the United States. And, you know, a lot of people we're biased a little bit that research that happens here in the United States sometimes is the gold standard, you might say, but there is a lot of research that comes out of other countries, other parts of the world that is very, just as technical as what we have here. We're seeing more of that. You're seeing some studies that were presented at the STACON, our conference, last fall from an amazing respiratory therapist. She also a doctor of physical therapy out of California, that she uses it with her COPD patients and her CF patients and, you know, the long COVID patients. We're seeing just more and more also, as you know, something near and dear to your heart. When you start to look at the well-being and wellness aspects of overall, that stacking of modalities or the layering of modalities of working with them, being able to bring things together, not only helps us from an individual standpoint well-being, but it also helps promote that whole wellness industry.
Let's talk about STACON for a minute. That stands for Salt Therapy Association Conference. Even I knew that acronym, so that one I knew. Do we have the dates on that yet?
We do. It's September 8th, 9th, and 10th in Orlando, Florida. You can go to the website now and you can see, you can get to the information. We're going to start publishing some of the speakers. Today, I just got confirmed, Dr. Mark Arath is our keynote. Dr. Arath is a anesthesiologist, emeritus professor at Mayo Clinic. And he does an amazing talk. I got to see him at an international indoor air quality meeting on We Are What We Breathe. And so I'm very excited about being able to have Dr. Arath. And we've got some others that we're working on, bringing in both from a technical standpoint as well as business, and then also how we layer and stack.
Good. I wrote stacking modalities because that always resonates with me. It's like the people who think that ordering the Big Mac large fry, but I had a Diet Coke, was good stacking of their meal. And that's not what we're talking about, but stacking modalities is fits with where I think health goes as well, right? It can't be just one thing. I started walking 30 minutes a day. That's a good start, but you've got to do that with a number of other things along the way as well.
Yeah, I think that's really important, that whole aspect. And it's also, it helps promote the health of business as well. And that's also, I think, very important. You and I think it was Jimmy Youngblood, when I first met you at STACON 23, you brought up something that in my old world of biosecurity, biorisk management, and you said something about biohacking. And at first I was like, okay, in my world, that means genetic manipulation at the DNA level. And, talk to me about what you mean by biohacking. And I think that is something that in the wellness industry really needs to be looked at, how we are looking at biohacking. And in talking to my kids, talking to other folks in the medical industry, it's how can I, it's not replacing our modern medicine. We know, I have to go get heart surgery. I'm going to make sure that guy has, some experience in heart surgery. I respect that position. But I have to take control of my own health and well-being as well. And like you said, I went out and walked 30 minutes. What else can I do to promote that longevity? And there is so much, I think, that we're starting to see.
Patty, during COVID, when we did the Salt Therapy Association conference online and even had hundreds and hundreds of people come in for the show, I think Salt had an interesting surge during that time where people kind of woke up and said, wait, I can do this at home as well. I can go to the salt cave, but I can do this at home. And that's why I think the home salt room, if you will, having the salt breathers, or I'm not sure what we call them, the portables, right, that you can take on the road with you and be, this stuff has become really important in people's lives, and especially post-COVID, I think there's been such a great move forward. I would encourage everyone to go online at salttherapyassociation.org, sign up for the conference. If I remember, it's in Orlando this year. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Orlando, Florida.
There's no reason not to get to Orlando. You can get there from any airport in the country. It goes to Orlando. Thank you, Disney Mouse, for that, right?
Well, and you can even take a couple days extra and go visit that mouse.
Actually, it's a great time to take a few extra days and do whatever you want, right, in South Florida. Patty, I want to lean back on this again because I think it's really interesting. Leo Tompkin, who had talked a lot over the years about going to, I can't remember where it is in Poland, but going to that salt mine that's been around for like 900 years or whatever it is, and talking about how those people who live and work around the mine are extremely healthy. And they're breathing the salt particles all the time. There's kind of no contraindications to this, is there?
No, I mean, that's the interesting thing is that when they look at those individuals and, you know, they don't see any contraindications. And that's really important because, I mean, obviously there are contraindications to some other things. And, you know, I guess I also, you know, to your listeners, you know, please reach out to me. I mean, I want to learn. I mean, this is an industry for me that is not just the salt therapy, but the wellness industry that is near and dear to my heart. And I've been working in this industry from a public health standpoint for most all my career. I believe in a One Health philosophy. And the only way that you get better is by exposing yourself to different ideas and thoughts and learning.
We have been fortunate to speak with Patty Olinger today. You can reach her at salttherapyassociation.org. I would also highly encourage you to look into attending StayCon. That's the Salt Therapy Association Conference. It is September 8, 9, and 10 in Orlando this year. It's not very expensive at all. It's an investment in the growth of your business. And you get to see Patty and me there as well. So even better. So Patty, thank you. We do, right? They've all been fun. And I love being able to go to conference. So Patty, again, thank you for being with us and sharing your knowledge today.
Oh, thank you so much, Alan.
And friends, remember, please be kind to one another.